Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Twilight of my dad's life, Dad and President Carter spoke by phone, and Dad asked President Carter if he would do a eulogy at Dad's funeral. President Carter graciously agreed, and then he also asked if Dad would deliver a eulogy at President Carter's funeral. Now, Dad was thrilled to agree. After that call, as you can imagine, both of them got off the phone and had a pretty good chuckle, considering which one of them would return in person to deliver that second eulogy.
That's pretty funny. This is Steve Ford, the son of Gerald Ford, delivering the eulogy written by his dad before he passed away about now-deceased former President Carter yesterday.
Now, honesty and truth-telling were synonymous with the name Jimmy Carter. Yeah. Those traits were instilled in him by his loving parents, Lillian and Earl Carter, and the strength of his honesty was reinforced by his upbringing in the rural South, poised on the brink of social transformation. He displayed that honesty throughout his life as a naval officer, state legislator, governor, president, and world leader. For Jimmy Carter, honesty was not an aspirational goal. It was part of his very soul.
And, you know, I know for some people, and this is kind of true for people who do anything well, I don't know for a fact, but I would guess that if you had President Carter to ask about, you know, being honest, he probably would say, I mean, of course. You know, like, when people are that committed, and he, I mean, certainly, okay, that committed to telling the truth, at least as they see it, it becomes almost harder to lie than it does to tell, you know, it's such a habit. And then when you praise people for something which at a certain point they really can't do otherwise, it feels weird. So I just, but I absolutely, in a world of politicians who seem to do nothing but lie, that's a unique characteristic for which he should certainly be praised.
Of the many things Jimmy and I had in common, the most important is this: we both married way above ourselves, way above. With Jimmy, every step of the way was his first lady from Plains. In a life rich with blessings, none was greater for Jimmy than the love he shared with Rosalind and the love the two of them shared with their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren.
Now, I did think it was a little odd because I was quite young when Carter was president, but I believe it's Rosalind. I believe it's not Rosalind, but... You know, who am I to quibble with the guy who's the son of the former, you know, right, that was speaking the eulogy? And, of course, what's so interesting about this is Ford was a Republican and Carter was a Democrat, and they became, you know, one defeated the other, and then Carter got defeated by Reagan. But then they became good friends after, you know, long after, and that's what led to this. You know, it was on a trip to Cairo, I think, if I remember correctly from his speech, that they became friends. You know, seemed like it'd be a very long trip. But seemed like the return couldn't be long enough because they had sort of, you know, fallen in friendship with each other, which is, I mean, a wonderful thing.
As for myself, Jimmy, I'm looking forward to our reunion. We have much to catch up on. Thank you, Mr. President. Welcome home, old friend.
I actually thought Steve Ford's, which is, of course, his dad, Gerald Ford's speech, was the best one of the day. Ted Mondale's speech about his dad was, you know, fairly good. Unfortunately, President Biden's speech was really not good. It was just nothing. There was one part where he talked about all the things that Jimmy Carter had done, and it was fine, but it was pretty anticlimactic after some of the very good eulogies that had come before it. One thing that was kind of interesting, I don't know if you had a chance to watch this on TV at all or on YouTube, which most people, I guess, but when all the five presidents all coming in and seeing them interact and seeing Trump shake hands rather in a friendly way with Mike Pence. I didn't know what was going to happen there. And then Obama sits down next to Trump and they start joking and laughing and cutting up. And you could see both of them really, you know, enjoying the conversation. Then Kamala Harris comes in and just sits kind of by herself. When Biden came in, and Biden did not sit next to Kamala Harris, you know, First Lady Jill Biden sat next to her, and there was zero interaction, at least in the beginning, between them. I don't know if that's frosty post-election stuff or what, but it was kind of odd, you know, not even a hey, how you doing, or a hug, or I mean, nothing. Just, we're going to sit here, and we're going to look forward, and that's going to be the end of that. It was neat to see all of the, and there is this kind of, you know, President's Club collegiality, at least there's supposed to be, that's sort of when things are going right. 6:15 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Coming up next in the Transgressors Memorial Service, find out why McDonald's and Facebook got canceled. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by the Watson Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car accident, you can visit watsonfirm.com. No accidents to let you know about right now. Just seeing some minor delays if you're at the intersection of 9 Mile and Highway 29 going northbound and southbound on 29. You're going to see some delays there. Other than that, traffic is rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Oh, this is a good note. Somebody said, I didn't see this, that George Bush had tapped Obama on the belly. Mm-hmm. That sounds adorable. I'm sorry I missed that because that does sound like a very, you know, he called it the most wholesome interaction that I love that.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
We'll have a look at all the fun things to do in Pensacola in the new year, including Pensacola Mardi Gras, SBC basketball, and so much more.
Today at 9, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
Ladies, do you want to feel more connected to our community? Consider joining Impact 100 Pensacola Bay Area, a women's philanthropic group that has awarded 165 grants totaling more than $17 million in our community. Connect with other women and increase your area impact. Membership deadline is March 1st. For details, check us out on Facebook or visit impact100pensacola.org.
Hi, my name is Michael Dylan Thompson, candidate for Congress here in my home district. I'm proud to be the only candidate who voters petitioned to be on the ballot. Every other candidate paid over $10,000 to qualify, often using either lobbyist or special interest money. As a born and raised Pensacola native, I will fight for my district. I will fix the insurance crisis created by establishment politicians, and I will protect our brave service members who keep America free. We don't need outsiders bringing Washington, D.C. corruption into Northwest Florida. We need new ideas and fresh leadership to fight for us. As your congressman, I pledge to always put Florida first. There's a critical election on January 28th, and I need your vote. This is our chance to take back our voice and send a clear message to the career politicians. We won't let special interests decide our future. Together, we can restore accountability, protect our values, and secure a stronger future for Northwest Florida. I'm Michael Dylan Thompson, and I'm proud to approve this message.
Paid for by Michael Dylan Thompson for Congress, Republican.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at George Stone Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from George Stone Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for McDonald's, for abandoning their commitment to the Holy Trinity of Our Lady of Wokefulness, diversity, equity, and inclusion. This week, McDonald's announced they would no longer have diversity goals for upper management, allowing them to restock their leadership team with white men. They also said they will no longer encourage suppliers to indoctrinate their workers with diversity training, as if our key doctrines can be expected to survive on their own in the marketplace of ideas. And following the horrible example of companies like Lowe's, Coors, and Ford Motor Company, McDonald's will no longer participate in the Human Rights Campaign's Corporate Equality Index, an annual survey that rewards companies for having policies beneficial to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex, two-spirit, and other alternative sex styles. In other words, people of the holy acronym string. Yes, I know for some of you this comes as a painful loss, but I do want to remind you that McDonald's has been operating for years on the fringe of our acceptability scale with a waiver from the National Conclave of the Blessed Accessors of Virtue. Every year, McDonald's faces an uphill battle to retain their waiver because they have so many negative marks on their scorecard. Most obviously, their entire business is predicated on selling food that once had a face. Whether it's their hamburgers allegedly made from beef, their McNuggets allegedly made from chicken, their Filet-O-Fish allegedly made from seafood, or the McRib allegedly made from pigs. Also, their trenchant commitment to sesame seed buns has put them at odds with the fine women at Mad AF, Mothers Against Dangerous and Allergenic Foodstuffs. Nearly one half of 1% of American children cannot eat at McDonald's because it is not certified as a sesame-free facility. Then there's the endless stream of single-use plastic cups and straws, the refusal to commit to using only conflict-free lettuce and mustard, and the horribly cisgender segregation of bathrooms into male and female only. For shame. But most concerning has always been McDonald's callous indifference to the world-threatening danger of the climate apocalypse. Even as they celebrate their billions and billions served, McDonald's is rubbing in our face the uncountable number of carbonated beverages they sell every year, drinks whose tingly little bubbles of carbon dioxide effervesce into the atmosphere, helping to kill our planet. But at least until now, McDonald's was able to show they were doing DEI properly, hiring lesser qualified but preferably pigmented people, promoting rainbow values, and burdening the supply chain with proselytizing their workforce on our behalf, but no longer. If McDonald's is going to become just another purely capitalistic endeavor, hiring labor on the basis of qualifications and providing services to the marketplace on the basis of demand and profit, well, they might as well be Chick-fil-A for all we care. Therefore, we hereby banish the Golden Arches from the ranks of the approved. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Mark Zuckerberg and his social media platforms of Instagram and Facebook for announcing this week that they are going to stop censoring conservatives who are climate deniers, haters of the holy acronym string, COVID skeptics, or critics of open borders, among other things.
We're going to dramatically reduce the amount of censorship on our platforms.
Now, we must admit, for years we have admired Zuckerberg's enormously successful campaign to constantly gaslight the American people by, for instance, refusing to admit they've been censoring all this time, while it's been obvious to everyone that algorithmic throttling, deplatforming, and viewpoint depreferencing have been as common as young women feeling body-shamed by beauty filter influencers on the gram. And we do particularly love some of their wonderful Orwellianisms, like rebranding censorship as content moderation, and viewpoint discrimination as community standards. And we do admire the over-the-top performance Zuckerberg put on display this week by pretending that Facebook is now simply returning to its roots of free expression and trying to eliminate some of the mistakes made by their censors, as if actively working to shape the beliefs of 330 million Americans wasn't a core part of their cultural agenda.
Because it's time to get back to our roots around free expression on Facebook and Instagram.
But perhaps worst of all is that Zuckerberg, who actively funded the effort to stop President-elect say not his name in 2020 with Zuckerbucks, is now openly promising to work with the Wicked One.
We're going to work with President Trump to push back on governments around the world that are going after American companies and pushing to censor more.
I'm sorry. I probably should have used a longer bleep on that one. Please forgive me. In any case, not only is he openly vowing to help the maniac from Mar-a-Lago, but he is even throwing dear leader Biden to the conservatives by blaming his administration for all the censorship Meta so eagerly embraced over the last 4 years.
And that's why it's been so difficult over the past 4 years, when even the US government has pushed for censorship.
This is just an astounding level of apostasy from the curly-haired wizard cyberpunk wearing the million-dollar watch. But what else should we really expect from a lifeless, black doll's-eyed capitalist like Mark Zuckerberg?
Asian. Lifeless eyes. Black eyes like a doll's eyes.
Mark Zuckerberg for betraying the faith, for aligning with the unnamed one, and for actually admitting to engaging in viewpoint censorship all along, we excommunicate thee, woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Finally, we want to take a moment to celebrate the lifelong and ongoing work done by former Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi to elevate our consciousness around relanguaging and tone setting for gender equity. First, we adore the grace with which she so casually offered to fix a gaping embarrassment in our sexist language.
Under Lincoln's leadership during the Civil War, they said, "Don't build the dome. It takes too much steel and person power, manpower," they said.
Do you see how she ever so casually noted that anyone in the past who referred to it as manpower was saying it wrong? So elegant, so forceful, so obvious. She really is a gift to all personkind. But she did something even better than that. She actively advanced the truth that men are inferior to women in every way that matters, especially character. Speaking about why women get attacked more in politics and in ways that are personally hurtful to them, she said,
"Women are known to be more, shall we say, ethical than men."
Now, again, we adore that she just asserted this without any evidence or analysis, almost in passing. Like noticing that sidewalk is gray or that guns turn people into murderers, things no reasonable person would dare dispute. And that effortlessly casual pronouncement reminds people how obvious it is that women are superior to men. See, when you say it like this, nobody notices that it sounds like sexism. I say sounds like because obviously truth can't actually be sexist, and since men have most of the power in the world, by definition, they can't be victims of sexism. In any case, for advancing gender equality through female superiority in such a cavalier and evidence-free way, we salute you, Madam Speaker Emerita. Woe unto all who offend.
Women are...
Woe unto all who offend!
Refreshments this week are provided by Raw Humbug. Pastries, cakes, and pies made exclusively from only the finest insects and worms. You really haven't lived until you've tried a nice mealworm turnover, some carrot and caterpillar cake, or a light, refreshing slice of cricket baklava. And just for us this week, Raw Humbug has brought us their very first sample of their brand new aphid croissants. When you get done eating Raw Humbug, you won't be able to taste anything but the virtue.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
Branding and naming services available at a discount. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
Again, I'm going to boycott traffic at this time. All right.
You need an aphid croissant to get you through?
That's what I was thinking.
Okay.
In the baklava. All right. No accidents to let you know about right now. It looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Let's see here. We're not seeing any delays on 90 or 98 right now, so you're looking good. I'm John Piggins with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President-elect Donald Trump will be sentenced this morning in the New York hush money case after the Supreme Court rejected his request to block that. In a 5-4 ruling yesterday, the court's three liberal justices sided with Amy Coney Barrett and Chief Justice John Roberts, who said Trump could still appeal that sentence.
They even kind of encourage it. Like, this is not an they're going to let a sentencing stand. That's just that they're not going to force a delay in the sentencing. So
Right. So that'll happen, I believe I saw on Fox here a few minutes ago, at 9:30 Eastern, so 8:30 here in a few hours. The remains of the late Jimmy Carter were returned to Plains, Georgia yesterday for his burial following a state funeral. The 39th president was remembered yesterday in a service in Washington, D.C., with all five living presidents in attendance. President Biden delivered the eulogy. Did you happen to see the President-elect Trump and former President Obama having that little conversation?
They had a cut-up conversation. They were both laughing and joking and having a good time. Yeah, like old buddies.
Been a lot of discussion online. Just what were they saying? We got to get lip readers on that.
Oh, yeah, why we don't? I mean, I would love to have had mics in, but, you know, whatever.
And the man who spent 4 years in prison for the Pizzagate shooting has been killed by police. Edgar Welch was arrested in 2016 for firing a rifle inside a Washington, D.C. pizzeria because he thought it was part of a sex trafficking ring. Last weekend, he was killed by police in North Carolina after pointing a gun at officers during a traffic stop.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620, 437-1620. Oh, a couple of interesting notes. One is former Representative Joel Rudman is actually here in studio. We're going to talk to him coming up after the break about his candidacy for Congressional District 1. At 735, we have a Know Your Tenant Commands. The 350th Civil Affairs Command based at Corey Station is going to be here. We're going to talk to Colonel Scantlin about what he and his folks do. That should be very interesting. Clark Merritt has left the port. Clark Merritt had been for the long time under Amy Miller. He was the deputy or assistant port director, and then he was the port director when she became the assistant city administrator. And he left, and I talked to him yesterday and just kind of said, you know, it's time for a change, you know, staying here in town. But just time for a change after a long time working at the port. So we will miss him. Clark was a great asset. I mean, he really was knowledgeable, capable, and of course, the port has been a great example of success for so many years under both Amy Miller and under his leadership. Hey, if you've got a plumbing issue of any kind, a leak, a drip, a weird sound on the wall when you flush the toilet or turn on the faucet, flat rate pricing with Barberry Plumbing. They'll fix it right and they'll charge you based on the job, not the time. 477-8782 for Barberry Plumbing.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. The five wildfires burning in Los Angeles have torched more than 35,000 acres, an area twice the size of Manhattan. At least 10 people are dead.
Two of those deaths are confirmed to be right here in the Palisades fire where we are, where at least 5,000 structures, yes, 5,000 structures have been wiped out.
That's Fox's Bill Malusian in Pacific Palisades. 5,000 other structures have also burned as a result of the other fires. At 9:30 Eastern, President-elect Donald Trump will appear virtually to be sentenced in the New York hush money case.
After a state appeals court ruled this week, the punishment for 34 felony counts of falsifying business records to hide payments to an adult film actress would not be stayed. Judge Mershon has said there will likely be no jail time included in his ruling.
That's Fox's Grinnell Scott. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. And right now it is a little bit warmer this morning. We've got 46 degrees, partly cloudy skies this morning. Well, we do have a selection from the Escambia Board of Commissioners on who will develop the OLF 8 property, or who could develop the OLF 8 property. The Escambia Board of Commissioners making that decision last night. They've awarded a contract to the $50 million bid from Beulah Town Center, LLC. Now, that came after Tri-West Group rescinded their bid in the middle of that meeting. The third developer, Beulah Ranch, LLC, had attempted to compete. They upped their offer to $45 million, but they were outbid. Escambia County now has 30 days to get a contract signed and complete the deal. And again, that deal would be with Beulah Town Center, LLC. There was a security scare this week at Pine Forest High School. Two incidents combined into a lockdown at the school. Officials say first there was a social media threat. Then five students had bypassed a security checkpoint to enter the school building. That caused the school to go into lockdown. Just out of an abundance of caution, the five students that skipped that security checkpoint were found. An investigation is underway, but the school's back to normal operations today. Port of Pensacola Director Clark Merritt has resigned. He's led the port since 2021 after former port director Amy Miller was promoted to deputy city administrator. Merritt has been with the city since 2013. He was before port director. He was the deputy port director. Before that, he was the port business development manager. Well, more Portland Loos are on the way to Pensacola. The city installed their first public Portland Loo at Bruce Beach last year. Now they want to install some more of these Portland Loos at Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza, the Blake Doyle Skate Park, and Museum Plaza behind the Pensacola Museum of History. The city council is expected to vote on an agreement with UWF to install the Loos at Museum Plaza later this month or potentially in early February. Florida Chief Financial Officer Jimmy Patronis returned over $30 million in unclaimed property to Floridians in December. Pensacola was one city that saw unclaimed property returns totaling $619,189. It's estimated that one in five Floridians may have unclaimed property with an average claim of around $800. They say you can start your treasure hunt today by visiting fltreasurehunt.gov. Well, Southern California looks like a war zone. That's what Miami native Matias Ortiz said after surveying the scene this week. As wildfires are devastating the area, he said the sky is orange. There's smoke everywhere. His whole life is over. Matt Gaetz might be getting closer to deciding what his political future is. The former Panhandle congressman said this week he's now thinking about running for governor in 2026. He said he has a compelling vision for the state, and he believes he understands how to fix the insurance problem. Gaetz said that lawmakers shouldn't hand the keys to the state over to the insurance industry, and says if he runs, he believes he would be the most pro-consumer candidate on the Republican side. Gaetz did an interview with the Tampa Bay Times. He did say he still has to pray on it and discuss the decision with his wife. 6:35 at News Radio, and John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right, brought to you by Anderson Subaru. No accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. We're seeing just some minor delays if you're at Scenic and Highway 90 right there as they make the turn onto Highway 90 going northbound and coming as you head toward Davis or 9 Mile. Other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Piggins with your traffic on the fives.
And thank you very much, John. Now taking a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be looking at a wet day today, especially as you go through the late morning into the afternoon. High near 60 degrees, low tonight near 36 degrees. Showers move out by tonight, and then as we go into your Saturday, temperatures drop 49 degrees for your high. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 32. Keeping partly sunny skies around through Sunday with a high near 55 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. 46 in Pensacola, Milton, and Gulf Breeze. Your next news at 7 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Today is Jobs Friday. Economists expect the Bureau of Labor Statistics to report a gain of 155,000 in non-farm payrolls, a step down from the surprising 227,000 increase in November. The unemployment rate is forecast to hold steady at 4.2%. Data drops at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Treasury yields hovered close to its highest level since April this morning as investors anxiously await the release of key jobs data. The 10-year Treasury yield was more than 2 basis points higher at 4.7%. Wayfair is exiting Germany and plans to cut as many as 730 jobs, or 3% of its global workforce. The online home goods company wants to reprioritize investments and see a better return on other initiatives, such as physical retail, and that's according to finance chief Kate Gulliver. Futures are slightly lower. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 106, the NASDAQ down 10. And that's Your Money Now.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
iZurvey or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iZurvey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iZurvey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iZurvey today.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
Visit iZurvey.com. That's iZERVAY.com.
Every day, you enjoy the freedoms brought to you by the First Amendment. You can speak your mind, wear what you want. You can put a sign on your front lawn that says, "Vote for Bigfoot, someone you can believe in." Pray to the God of your choice, or don't. They're the freedoms that let you be you. All brought to you by the First Amendment. Learn more at freedomforum.org.
This message is sponsored by Freedom Forum and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's.
Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sonny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sonny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3 and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Heard that song in a while. I forget how great the early Van Halen really was. 640 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. That was the requested walk-up music or sit-forward music. I'm not quite sure since he's here in studio with me. Dr. Joel Rubman, former state representative for District 3. Welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir. Or welcome back. We've had you on before. Welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me, Andrew. And of course I'm going to be in studio. I'm not going to phone it in. That's another candidate that phones it in.
Oh, I see the civility started early. All right, fair enough. By the way, do want to let you all know there is a debate forum, whatever you want to call it, going on today at the Downtown Library on Spring Street, the Women for Responsible Legislation at 10:30. Of course, you will be there for that. But Dr. Rubman, he is a family practice doctor. He isn't active, still seeing patients all the time, right? Like you saw patients today?
I saw patients right after our last forum the other day. It ended at 2. I was back in the office at 2:45 taking care of diabetes. It's pretty awesome.
So seeing patients, going back and forth for a term and a little bit to Tallahassee, now running for Congress. Let's start with the obvious question. Why do you want to be in Congress? Why on earth would anybody want to be in Congress? But why do you want to be in Congress?
Well, you know, it's interesting because the very people that put me in the Florida House, those are the same people who came to me when Matt Gaetz announced, you know, that he was stepping down. You know, and first of all, that really took me by surprise. I was never expecting that. So if you notice, for about 2 weeks, I kind of kept quiet. But during those 2 weeks, patients, supporters, people kept coming to me saying, look, we don't like our choices. We don't like our options. We've always envisioned you in that seat. We put you in your current seat. We'd like you to run to represent us in D.C.
So when you get there, if you win, okay, and winning the primary is obviously the big thing coming up in 2.5 weeks, what are your priorities? What are your, say, top three things that you really want to focus on for Northwest Florida?
Well, obviously, number one is the military. We have to rebuild and strengthen our military. You know, as a physician, Andrew, I can tell you there's lots of youngsters in our area. You know, they're probably military children. They want to serve their country. And they're being denied. They're being sent home. I have kids that come to me to get a doctor's note. They were given an inhaler when they were 3 years old. And the Army Air Force recruiters are telling them, well, how do we know you don't have asthma? That's a disqualifying condition. Well, because they haven't had an inhaler for 16 years. That's how you know they don't have asthma. So, again, I see so many people that want to serve their country and they're being denied. We also have to get DEI, obviously,
can I
out of
pause
our
you for just a second?
Sure, absolutely.
Because that's so contrary to all the stuff that I had thought was true, which is that the military is loosening physical requirements, trying to accept as many people as they can, even in some cases putting them through pre-basic physical training in order to get them up to speed. I just had never heard that anybody was being turned away for non-important health problems.
Well, and again, you wouldn't know this unless you were in my position. So that's what makes my candidacy unique, is that other people, you know, they talk the talk, they say the right things, but they don't know what's going on the ground. As a physician that takes care of TRICARE patients, and I've done so for 25 years, you know, I take care of about 3,000 patients a year. You know, 2,000 of those are military families. So I've got my finger on the pulse of what's happening with our military community. And of course, they come to me and they let me know. I'm the one that does their physicals.
You were also saying, I kind of interrupted you, you were on your second one, which was DEI.
Actually, that was still part of the first one, rebuilding our military.
Of course.
Second thing is, of course, infrastructure. You know, I'm from Navarre, And of course, part of the military is we've got to be mission ready. We have airmen, we have special ops members that cannot get to the base. They can't get to Hurlburt in a timely fashion because of the traffic congestion on 98. You know, there's similar problems up on Highway 90 in the northern part of the district. So infrastructure, we've got to invest in our infrastructure, in our highways. We've got to do that in order to keep our troops mission ready and to keep the integrity of the mission intact.
Do you have an idea for what you want to have happen on Highway 98 to alleviate this problem or some other alternative solution?
Oh, absolutely. I've actually been working on it for the last 2+ years as the state representative from District 3. So we have ideas in place for an alternate road. You know, we don't use the word bypass because 10 years ago, the bypass idea was shot down. So now we call it an alternate road. But basically, it is a parallel road that runs parallel to Highway 98. But of course, Andrew, in order to complete the task, we're going to need permission from Eglin Air Force Base. They're going to have to cede a little bit of land to us. Now, I was told when I got there that that was dead on arrival, that Eglin would never, ever admit that there was a problem, and they would never, ever give up land to do so. Let me tell you, Andrew, we've made some successful steps. Eglin has actually come to the table, and they are now willing to admit that, yes, we have a problem on 98, and we are going to have to do something. So my congratulations to Eglin for coming to the table, and now we're going to get some options that hopefully the people in Navarre and the people in Northwest Florida are happy with.
You know, talking a little bit about military things, and I just think of this because you're a doctor, that, you know, we had the hypoxia issues with the T-45 and some of the other platforms, but particularly the T-45s that fly out of NAS Pensacola. And then more recently, it's exactly a health-related issue, but the Ospreys, which, of course, they use out of Hurlburt, have had their issues with the gearbox and the various statuses of flyable or not flyable. And now we're kind of, I think, in a weird place of trying to figure out where the metal in those gearboxes came from. But how do you think your background, your practice as a doctor, would impact on your ability to think about things like, you know, VA healthcare or about, you know, the military medical system or about those kinds of, you know, physical issues that might affect, for example, pilots or training that take place here on the Gulf Coast?
I'm very much in tune with that. Like I said, these are my patients. This is my patient panel. When people go to the VA to be evaluated for their disability ratings or whatever, they normally have to start at my office. They have to come and get a comprehensive exam. They take their chart with them. Sometimes they don't like their disability rating, so they come back to me to see if there's anything we can do to improve upon that. And then, of course, there's patients that see both sectors. You know, they have a VA doctor and they have me as well. But the other interesting thing is, you know, as a candidate, you know, you want to be able to listen to your community. That's the most important thing a representative can do is listen. Well, you know, I've got experience listening. I listen to 30 people a day, 5 days a week for the last 25 years. So I am a good listener. Otherwise, I would not have a medical practice.
We're talking to Dr. Joel Rudman, former state representative Joel Rudman, about his candidacy for Congressional District 1. Hang on for just a second. We got traffic on the fires with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. You know, one of the things that's just kind of come up to mind that had been an issue for years, kind of off again, on again, but is now a little bit back in focus. We have the USS or the SS United States ship is coming, you know, to the kind of western edge of the Okaloosa territory. We already, of course, have, you know, our own, the Oriskany that sunk. And somebody had made the comment, boy, it sure would be nice to not have to go all the way around one way or the other if you could only open the Navarre Pass. And, of course, that became a flashpoint and a failure point for Matt Gaetz early on in his congressional tenure. But any thoughts on whether, and again, a thing that, you know, Eglin has basically stomped on and said absolutely no, but what do you think?
So it's funny. I've been in the area since 1999, but you just dated me right there because the Navarre Pass, I think that predates me actually in terms of living here. But you are correct, Andrew, is that tourism is the number three thing I was going to bring up, is that we have to keep our tourist economy healthy. Because, you know, right now, Andrew, there's people down in Destin, there's people down in Walton County that are literally fighting over grains of sand. They're fighting over who has access to the beach down there. And as far as I know, I'm the only state legislator or former state legislator. I had to resign 7 days ago. As far as I know, I'm the only candidate, certainly the only legislator willing to tackle the issue. And my belief is that the beaches are public. They belong to everyone. You know, you should have a right to access the beach. If you get on the beach down on 30A, down at Dune Allen, you should have the right to keep right on walking all the way down to Rosemary.
Regardless of the existing property rights or the way that that property was carved up in the beginning, I think of the difference between, you know, obviously Pensacola Beach is public, but only parts of Perdido Key Beach, and that's in litigation right now, but certainly parts of that are not public because the entitlement of the people who bought the property is to their water access. The public can't go there, just like it is all around Gulf Breeze and all kinds of other places on the Sound. Are you saying that all water should be open to the public?
So basically what happened in Walton County was denied customary. So customary use means you have access up to the mean high water mark, and that's the standard we go by. Obviously, we don't want you climbing over the dunes. We don't want you in somebody's backyard, you know, swimming in their pool, throwing beer cans. So, yeah, we're definitely not infringing on anyone's property rights, but there is this standard called customary use, which is around the state. It's funny, in Tallahassee, when I talk to other legislators about what's going on down in Walton County, I talk to people in Sanibel. I talk to people in Amelia Island. I talk to people in Daytona Beach. They look at me like I'm crazy. What? They're fighting over who owns it? Because they have customary use. The legislature back in 2018 stripped customary use away from Walton County. The county now has to sue in order to establish customary use, which is a humongous burden on a county government. So my intention or one thing I did prior to resigning, I filed a bill to get the state government out of Walton County's business.
I want to ask you a couple of the kind of, you know, critique negative questions that people sure. want to ask. And actually, you kind of gave them the opportunity with that one. You did file a handful of bills knowing that you were going to be resigning after you had already announced your candidacy. And I have on the air, I have said these are show bills. These are meant to get you publicity. They're obviously not going to accomplish anything like the gun bill because you know that you're resigning. How would you respond to that?
It's called setting the agenda. The seven bills that I filed after my reelection are no different than the seven bills I filed last session or the seven bills prior to that. I am a strong conservative. I've always filed First Amendment bills, Second Amendment bills. You remember, Andrew, I had the Right to Rock bill to protect our conservative entertainers, people like Ted Nugent, who are getting concerts canceled. I talked to the former singer from The Runaways. You remember Joan Jett and Lita Ford. I talked to Cherie Curry this week. She's on tour overseas, and she's having concerts canceled in the United Kingdom because she is a strong conservative. So my bills have always been all about setting the agenda. And it's funny, you know, I can't wait for people to eat their words because I know, and you'll know soon enough, of those seven bills I filed, five of them already have sponsors. So they're not dead. These weren't for show. It's called setting the agenda. Someone's got to be the conservative that sets the agenda. And you know what? I am a strong conservative, and those were my credentials right there. And I'm the guy, you know, if anything else, I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. You know, when I filed the gun bill last session, you know, I went after the Senate president. You know, when I filed the Second Amendment bill that got me named the Gun Owner of America's Legislator of the Year, the Senate president, who is a Republican, by the way, Republican from Naples, said, "We are not hearing any Second Amendment bills this session." Now, that's a Republican, Andrew. Now, does a Republican shy away and say, "Well, this bill's just for show. Let me trash it. She's asking me to withdraw it. Should I just rip it up?" No. I filed it. It made it all the way through the Florida House of Representatives, along party lines, of course. But you know what? In the Florida House, we are not afraid to let the world know that we are conservative and we are Republican.
Well, if they come back with other sponsors, I will eat my words, and I'll say that they wound up having an effect. The other, and you kind of bring up the second, I think, primary criticism that people sometimes raise about you, which is, yeah, it's all fine and good to fight for your principles, but at the same time, that often puts you at odds with the party, on the outside, essentially, within the Republican Party, something that, you know, kind of shows in Tallahassee, but is also sort of reminiscent of, you know, Matt being on the outside within the Republican Party in D.C., not being able to get things done. And there's another slice of this, which is obviously one of your opponents has been endorsed by the president, you know, and the party is aligning all heavily, although not exclusively, with him. How do you answer that objection?
President Trump is my biggest fan. He just doesn't know it yet. he hasn't met me. When he meets me and when he sees my agenda, he's going to be my biggest fan.
So you're listing him as a future endorsement?
There you go. But in terms of what you're saying, like the beach situation, for example, do you know who filed that bill to cause all the controversy in Walton County? That was that same Senate president. That was her bill as a freshman senator. So do I do what's right for my constituents and fight against the hierarchy? Do I say, look, ma'am, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. You made an honest mistake. We all make honest mistakes. You know, there's probably bills that I filed that had unintended consequences. Do we own up to our mistakes? Do we do what's right? Do we believe that there's a difference between right and wrong? Or do we just go along to get along? Look, people say all day long that they're tired of politicians. Well, I am not a politician. So, you know, if that's what you're asking for, if you're saying I've had enough of business as usual, I've had enough of the games they play behind the scenes. Look, I don't play games. And that's what I'm offering the people of Northwest Florida, because I don't believe what they liked about Congressman Gates, I believe, is that he didn't play games either.
I think your slogan should be, I don't play games, I play rhythm guitar. I was gonna offer you a 30-second recap, but you just gave it to me, so that's exactly what I was hoping to end on. Dr. Joel Rubman, former State Representative Joel Rubman, he is running for the Congressional District 1 election that comes up on January 28th. Be sure to vote. Also, today at 10:30, downtown at the Spring Street Library, the Women for Responsible Legislation are hosting a forum. He will be there along with, I assume, most of the other candidates. Dr. Rubman, thank you for your time. Thank you for serving the Tallahassee. Thank you for running for office, even though you make it hard with a big field. I always appreciate the people who are willing to put themselves out there and run. Thank you for the time.
It's been my pleasure. Now let me go back and see some military families today. Thank you.
You bet, sir. 6:55 on News Radio. Why, John?
Because the button was near that button.
6:55 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Traffic on the fives at John Pickens.
That's right. We're dealing with a disabled vehicle and roadblock on Davis Highway and East Olive Road. So just be cautious around that. We're starting to see some minor delays there. Other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Let's get to the points. MasterCard reward points from Pinair Credit Union. Open a new account today and you can earn 20,000 free reward points in the first 90 days. Use those points for travel, merchandise, even cash back. And with no hidden fees and no balance transfer fees, Pinair's Reward MasterCard fits you perfectly. Get started online at pinair.org/creditcards. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. Offer available on new accounts only. See website for details.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
So this new dose is, well, nope, that's not it. The price is nowhere to be found.
Mr. Green? Hi, it's all good. We've got this.
This is not just help from a Walgreens pharmacist.
Oh, new prescriptions. Cool. Let me check to see if these are the lowest cost options covered by your Medicare plan.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
This is someone supporting you every step of the way. Chat with a pharmacist today to find help saving. This is the human kind of help. Walgreens.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
They're here.
Can I just make my... Like, probably not the last time I'm going to say it, but this is why we need ranked choice voting. Exactly for a situation like this, where you can pick, or instant runoff voting, they sometimes call it, where you can look at the 10 candidates, and instead of going one bubble, you can say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, who you want in order of preference, and maybe give somebody a no, you never want that person at all. Because, you know, there are so many candidates, and, you know, you might be, you know, you might be okay with this one, hate that one, love this other one. A field like this is the best example of why we need what is illegal. Republicans have made it illegal in the state of Florida to have ranked choice voting. We need it, especially for a situation just like this. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, a vital fuel line between a major oil refinery in Southern California and the Las Vegas Valley is apparently now shut down. That went offline Wednesday due to power outages related to all the wildfires in Los Angeles County. The 566-mile pipeline ships gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel from California to terminals in Las Vegas. Terminals in Las Vegas. So,
all right, David, thanks so much for the update. Somebody says we need ranked choice to help protect us from a ranked choice. Well, the other thing, and this is maybe a little abstract, philosophical, but when you do ranked choice voting, the person who gets elected will have had a majority. That's the point, is you basically get to poll and re-poll the electorate until you get a majority winner by eliminating less viable candidates.